Today, you know, will be about praising the Lord. You know, we can also share, you know, a few remarks about, you know, lessons throughout this week. But I want to just give a shout out to the Lord first. And I want us to spend some time in praising the Lord with a voice of praise and with a voice of victory. Hallelujah. You know, the psalmist, on and off, he would say things like, well, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He would say, you know, praise the Lord. You know, he would say things like, you know, clap unto God, O ye house, you know, sing praises unto our God, shout unto the Lord, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, the shouting, the excitement, you know, that we put into it shows, you know, how enthused we are with the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, when people are praying, you know, we when we're really moved and passionate about what we are praying for, I mean, we can really get into it. We were in a prayer meeting, a church prayer meeting yesterday, and we were praying for Brother James, and I could feel how people were so passionate and shouting and praying and calling upon the name of the Lord. And that was a good thing. Praise the Lord. You know, and right in the middle of that, you know, prayer and so forth, we got a praise report from the wife that said the surgery, they were in surgery at the time that we were praying. And it's going to be a very, very long surgery. The news we heard going in was that it might take about 4 hours and 45 minutes. But they were going to do two things. But at the end, they only did the one long one. And it took over 4 hours. Can you imagine the family waiting for 4 hours, you know, to hear about the results of the surgery? And so we happened to be in prayer at the time. The prayer meeting was going on. We decided to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And people were so passionate. And I, you know, we were all so moved and praying and so on and so forth. And right in the middle of that, the testimony of the successful surgery came, you know, and, we started to announce it to the people and so forth. And we started to praise the Lord. You know, and then we praise the Lord and so on, you know, and, but I noticed that, you know, not just in that room, but every time, everywhere, you know, people don't praise the Lord with the same passion, you know, and the same enthusiasm sometimes, you know, that they were praying, you know, and it's kind of like the 10 lepers that were healed. And they went away. Jesus says, you know, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Their flesh came back like a baby's flesh. But only the one returned. And the Bible says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Yes, with a loud voice, he glorified God. You know, and the psalmist said, oh, that man would praise the Lord. He lamented. You know, he wanted to see people praise the Lord with a passion. Hallelujah. Praise God. He himself was always passionate about praising the Lord. And all the things that he said about the Lord in that Bible. I mean, no one else can praise the Lord like he did in that Bible. I mean, he sure did. And the Lord said, yeah, that's a man after my heart. You know, forget what you might think about David. That's not the way God sees him. God sees him as a man after God's own heart. That's how God sees him. And that's how he's reported. And he said, I will set his hand upon the seas and so forth. And I will establish his throne forever. Hallelujah. Why? Because David knew how to make the praises of the Lord glorious. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said, I will set upon the throne of David because, you know, when you are around that throne, that is going to be praising the Lord. That's it. You can't be around David without praising the Lord. You know, and show me a person that does not know how to praise the Lord, and I'll show you someone that may not get there. You're not going to get around that throne if you don't know how to praise the Lord. And that's where the action will be, where the carcasses, there the eagles will be gathered together. Where the throne of David is, praising of the Lord is going to be going on. And in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, the Bible says that in those days will I raise up again the tabernacle of praise. Well, tabernacle of David. It's called the tabernacle of praise. And the ruins thereof that are falling, I will build them as in old times. Hallelujah. The residue of the people will reach out to the Lord again. And with a loud voice, they will praise the Lord like David did. Hallelujah. You know, so today, let's praise the Lord. Well, you know, many reasons to praise the Lord. You know, the number of surgeries that they have put our brother James through, it's mind-boggling. You know, I don't even know how someone, I mean, even a young man that's full of strength and everything, how their body can even endure that. But, you know, and he being older and so on, I mean, they put him through all of that. I don't know why they chose not to space it out. They should have spaced it out some more. And I'd be praying in my heart and say, Lord, let them just space out this thing. You know, but you can't say anything, you know, because, I mean, they're the ones that have the, you know, the care and so forth. You don't want to say anything because they'll say, well, you didn't let us do this and that. You know, so we just been praying. And anyway, they left the elbow thing. They'll do that one later. So we thank God for that. At least, you know, hopefully you'll get one day. Maybe they'll even make it two. And they get some day to recoup before they put him again through that. I mean, his body cannot handle that. I tell you, it's only the grace of God. And thank God that, you know, most of the time he may not even know what's going on. Because to know what's going on, even the stress and the trauma that comes from knowing that you're going through that, you know, is a lot to deal with. But today we have reason to rejoice because thus far the Lord has helped him. We had other members of the, you know, the family, the GMI church family that were involved in an accident when they were coming back from visiting him. You know, some crazy person, you know, thought within themselves to drink enough because they wanted to kill themselves. You know, that's how these crazy people do. They want to kill themselves, so they drink and drink and drink, and then get on the road and drive with a crazy speed to crash themselves, and they don't care if they crash into someone else. You know, but the angel of the Lord, hallelujah, was there to deliver them. And the Lord said, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds. So there's a lot of reasons why we should praise the Lord today. And moreover, you know, I say that the voice and the voice of the accuser, you know, the pointing of the finger, we condemn them. But the Bible said, every voice that shall rise against you in judgment, I shall condemn. You know, some people say, well, why is this thing happening? Why is it happening to them? Well, why did it happen to Job? We don't know, you know, until we knew. Nobody knew what was going on until it was revealed, you know, much later, you know. So let no one jump to any conclusion, you know, when anything is happening. In fact, they asked Jesus in John chapter 9, this man that was born blind, 40 years was born blind. What, why, you know, they asked, was it this man, I mean, his parents' sin that made their child to be born blind? Or was it the man himself? And the answer of Jesus will surprise you. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, neither was it these parents' sin, nor this man's sin, that made him to be born blind. And for 40 years he has been blind. And this is the one of the most difficult verses that I have ever read, personally, for me. I mean, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I can, you know, assimilate quick, easily, This one was one of the most difficult that I have ever read in the Bible. Because Jesus said it was neither his parents that sinned, nor yet this man himself, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And I'm like, are you kidding me? 40 years this man went through that? That the works of God might be made manifest in him. That's a difficult saying. Well, it wasn't the sickness that were the works of God. No. But it was the timing constituted by divine providence. That on the day that the Christ would meet him, you know, on that day, all the eyes will be trained on him and they will see how he will be healed. Ha! And glory would come to the Lord. And it took that one moment of Christ healing this man, showing the works of God, that God can heal the blind, even 40 years born blind. I brought glory to God. And the man himself testified. So, well, you know, I don't know whether the man that healed me was a sinner or not, because they were accusing him. Give glory to God. This man is a sinner that healed you because, you know, I mean, he healed on the Sabbath day. That makes him a sinner. You know, the religious leaders of those days, I often wonder, my goodness, all they cared about was you can't do this on the Sabbath day and all these dogmas. They never cared anything about the health and the well-being of the people. And, you know, the man said, well, you know, this is a marvelous thing that you should think that such a person that did this will be a sinner. So we've not heard that anyone killed anybody that was born blind since, you know, the world began. It's amazing that you guys should think that this. And of course, they put him out. So you are altogether born in sin. You know, you are going to now teach us. You see, their assessment of the man was that he was born in sin because he was born blind. So that's their assessment. You were altogether born in sin. Now will you teach us? And they put him out. But whereas Jesus said, no, he was not in sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. It was not the man's sin. But, you know, people, religious folks that are looking at something bad that's happening to someone, you know, they will just assume that they must have sinned and there must have been some reason. Even the friends of Job, they came and accused him of that, you know, and so on. You know, so, you know, look, good people suffer bad things. You know, the psalmist said it in Psalm 34 and verse 19. The many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So that, you know, just because some bad thing happened to somebody, it should not make us to second guess and to begin to say, you know, anything with our mouth. Be careful now what you say, because you don't know, you know. But it might be that the works of God might be made manifest in them. I mean, somebody may suffer a lot, that the works of God might be made manifest. We don't know. I mean, this man suffered for 40 years. And yet, Jesus said it was that the works of God might be made manifest in him. You know, so, you know, we just pray. Look, if the Lord delivers you, you're not better than the one that went through. So, you know, let's not be high-minded. Let's just praise the Lord. So today, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord for you. You're going to praise the Lord for yourself. If you are in health, praise the Lord. If your family is safe and they are secure, praise the Lord. If the Lord has delivered you from a ghastly accident, you know, the less sad than that killed people, then praise the Lord. I mean, some of us have walked away from accidents that, you know, some people died for, you know, even in lesser accidents and so on and so forth. Well, then praise the Lord. You know, if the Lord has kept you alive and you are not in hospital, then praise the Lord. And if you see a brother that's hospitalized or a sister that's going through, well, don't second-guess or start to say anything in your heart or mind. You don't know, you know. But one thing we do know, Scripture says Job 42, you know, God restored everything to Job. And finally, the Lord, you know, the Scripture tells us, look, we have heard of the afflictions of Job, and we have seen the end of the Lord. Well, the end of it is we have the victory. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. You know, and well, causing us to triumph means there is something that we are triumphing over. And when he says always causes us to triumph, it means there's always going to be something that we must triumph over. So there's always something going on. You know, our prayer is that the Lord will give us rest and tranquility and quietness and so forth. You know, and then in the days of quietness, rejoice, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. On the days when everything is quiet around you, your family is flourishing and everything is good, then rejoice and praise the Lord. But, you know, in the days of adversity, consider and don't let your mouth say evil one way or another. When it is adversity for you that happens, or when it's adversity for a brother or a sister, and nobody wants adversity. And when we speak thus, doesn't mean that we are planning or hoping or thinking adversity will come, but it's a reality. It's like in the scriptures, night and day was there from the beginning. You know, and, you know, God left it all in place, side by side. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, one over against the other means side by side. And so these things will happen. When they do happen, well, you know, in fact, one time in Luke chapter 13, the people, you know, came and told Jesus about some things, you know, and they were trying to tell him about, you know, well, you know, the tower that fell on some people. You know, Tau Siloam, you know, fell on some people and 18 people died, and this and this and this. There's some people that, you know, some wicked kings, you know, took, and some people took and killed and slew them, you know, and so forth. And they, you know, they're telling Jesus about these things. And Jesus said, look, do you think that you were better than those people just because it didn't happen to you? He said, well, or do you think that those people were sinners above everybody else just because those things happened to them? Jesus said, think again. Hallelujah. Think again. You know, don't think in your heart that, you know, because some thing, bad thing happened. Listen to this. Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So they came and told Jesus, you know, say, look, look at what Pilate did to these people. Look at all this evil that's happening and so forth. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye, in other words, do you think that these Galileans that were so killed and suffered such fate, do you think they were sinners above all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? Basically, the question is this. When some bad thing happens to somebody, do you think they are sinner above somebody else? Or do you think in your heart that it was some evil that they must have done? This is how people think. They must have done, oh yeah, something evil must have happened. That's, you know, this and this and this. You know, Jesus said, look, but I tell you, nay, except ye repent, shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon which the tower in Siloam fell, do you think they were sinners because, you know, above all others because the tower fell on them and killed them? You know, I mean, we've heard of buildings that collapsed today and crashed and killed people. It's not the first time. It happened here in the days of Jesus. Some building collapsed and killed some people. You know, and Jesus saying, look, do you think that those people that suffered that kind of fate, do you think they were worse than others? Think again, Jesus said. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when we see these things happening, you know, don't think evil in your heart. You know, but pray for them and then praise the Lord that, you know, the Lord has spared you of such things. In fact, there's a story in Matthew 13 that we call the parable of the wheat and the tares. And the way the parable went, he said that, well, there was a man that planted good seed in his vineyard and garden and so forth. And then while men slept, the enemy came and planted evil seed among them. And then in the morning, when they woke up, you know, people saw that there were tares, you know, sprung up among the wheat. And they said to the good man, you know, and said, did you not plant good seed? How come then do we see tares among them. Should we go in and pluck up the tares so they don't choke out the real seed? And the master said, well, an enemy has done this. Well, so ladies and gentlemen, it is always an enemy that does it. An enemy. And sometimes he'll cheap shot us. Sometimes he will blindside us, you know, and we need to pray more that the Lord will help us to foresee the evil, you know, but sometimes we don't foresee the evil. It's just life. It happens, you know, like that. You know, you say, well, you know, why did this happen? Why didn't we foresee it? Well, maybe we foresee it, maybe we don't, but God foresaw it. You know, that we know. But one thing we know is that the Lord knows that this is the enemy that has done this thing. Did you know that in the book of Acts chapter 12, we are told that, you know, Herod, the king, you know, stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, you know, just like it says in Daniel 7, that at the end of the age, you know, this evil spirit will wear out the saints, you know. So now this man, Herod, he took upon himself to vex the church. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, we're told he did that. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. You know, now James, wow. I mean, he was one of the, you know, disciples. And he was one of, the inner circle even. I killed him. And he said, because he saw that he pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, you know, whom when he had taken, he put him in prison, supposing to bring him out later and kill him before everybody. Well, the first one took the church unawares. Nobody knew that he was going to kill James. He did it quickly before they even knew. But now he got their attention and said, well, we're not going to let this happen to Peter. You know, and then began to pray. He gathered together and prayed around the clock. And then God pulled Peter out of there by the hand of the angel of the Lord. You know, so sometimes these things will happen suddenly before we even know. You know, and I'm praying, you know, even now, you know, putting myself through prayer to say, Lord, deliver us from evil. You know, I gave a testimony the other day. I don't know, but I'm thinking, before all these things started happening, one day I was in a dream, and I saw myself talking to some people, and I was preaching and saying something, and I was trying to bring some scriptures together. And then the next scripture I was going to read was 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. And I don't know, in the dream, I didn't know what was in this scripture. And even at the time, I didn't know, you know, what was in the scripture. And I was about to read that thing. And then the dream stopped. Either I woke up or the dream was interrupted or something, you know, and I didn't get to read the scripture, but I had announced. I announced it that, you know, the, you know, that I was going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. But I didn't read it in the dream. So soon as I got up, I'm saying like, and then there were some other scriptures that I was reading and juxtaposing the scriptures and trying to bring them together. I could not remember those ones when I got up. The only one I remember was 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. So I knew that the Lord was giving that to me for a reason. You know, because the Lord does that. So as soon as I got up, I grabbed my Bible, my phone app, and turned to it. And I said, well, let me see, check out this scripture. What's in it anyway? And I opened it, and my goodness, powerful scripture. The Lord, he said, shall preserve me from every evil work. He will deliver me from every evil work. And he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be praise and glory forever and ever. And I said, wow, that is the scripture that I was about to read. how come I didn't know that that was what was in it? So I began to pray, you know, that, you know, God need to deliver me. So, you know, I had a sense, you know, of something, but I didn't know what was. And then I came on the room here and told people, you know, and so on, you know, and then the next thing we know, we start hearing all these things and so forth. But listen, the Lord is good. And so today I want us to give a shout out to the Lord. I want us to give some praise to the Lord, you know, and, has the Lord been good to you? And consider, I mean, yourself, your family, I mean, what are the great things that the Lord has done? I want everybody to participate in this today. Even if you cannot come up to the stage to speak, you can put it in the chat room. All of us are going to give a shout out to the Lord today. You know, it's a great thing when there is a leader that can command the people to praise the Lord. And Jehoshaphat had that kind of influence over the people. You know, I pray that I have that kind of influence over the people today, that you all will do as I'm asking, that, you know, we are going to praise the Lord. Say, look, that's what we're going to do. We're going to praise the Lord. Because look, we don't do it enough. I mean, we pray, pray, and pray, and that's good. But we don't praise the Lord enough. And we need to praise the Lord. When you cast your mind back, you know, and look, many of us, the Lord has delivered from so many different things, time and time and time and time again. You know, let's not forget it. Don't you ever forget it. You know, all the good things that the Lord has done, we ought to praise him. And that's how we gain strength for the present conflict. Whatever we're going through now, God has done something greater in the past. You know, or something similar, you know, that will give us the strength for today. You know, facing your Goliath now, your Goliath moment. In your Goliath moment, you must remember your moment against the lion and the bear. You know, that's what David did. He used the victories, the testimonies of the past to garnish and gain strength and stir himself up for the present conflict. You know, so, but we got to praise the Lord for all that he has done in the past. So my exhortation today is for us to praise the Lord. And I want to invite you to praise the Lord. I want to invite you, you know, to give a shout out to the Lord. I want to invite everybody that's in this room. You've got a testimony. You got something to praise the Lord with. What is the one word that comes to mind when you think about the Lord? When you think about his goodness, when you think about all the things that he has done, how he has spared you, you're not better than anybody that went through, you know. So, but how he has spared you, how he has spared your family, and, you know, sometimes you went through yourself, and he brought you through. That's why you are here. You're still alive, aren't you? You know, and there is no praise for the Lord in the grave. You know, unless those people make it to the presence of the Lord, you know, they can't praise the Lord in the grave. You know, but we are alive. That's right. And why we praise the Lord? Why we, you know, Sammy said, while I yet have my being, I will praise the Lord. So as you're listening to this, I want you to put the one word that comes to mind. I've done this before a couple of times and I love it. You know, what is the one word that comes to mind? Or, you know, if you want to write more than one, that's fine too. But, you know, I want us to praise the name of the Lord and just bless him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me see what the people are saying about the Lord here. Someone said the Lord is merciful. I love that. Someone said he's kind and full of grace. Well, I love that too. Someone said merciful and gracious. Well, praise the Lord. Someone said it's loving kindness. Well, you know, loving kindness is a word that can only be used about the Lord. Can't use it about anyone else. Someone said long suffering. That's right. Someone said his faithfulness. My goodness. Praise the Lord. And, you know, Lady Evans said, you know, a few months back, the Lord delivered my daughter-in-law and three grandchildren from a tremendous accident, from a drunken driver. Yeah. Said, I'm grateful. And we are grateful. You might remember that we came in this room and gave you know, that testimony. Ah, yes, you know, merciful, merciful, gracious, faithful, almighty, you know, loving kindness, you know, people, faithful God, dependable, they said. My goodness, I am that I am, consistent, you know, they said, you know, so on. So, I mean, loving, loving, gracious, merciful, you know, say, twice the Lord delivered my grandson and granddaughter from ghastly accidents and spare their lives. Well, praise the Lord for that. The Lord is loving and faithful. You know, one person said the Lord is infallible. Another one said the Lord is holy. Say he is amen. He's incomparable. Huh? He's the greatest of all kings, as someone said. He's the way maker. Woo-hoo! The Almighty. He's great. He's holy. He's righteous. He's, you know, praise his name. He's marvelous. You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me say, I love to say it when I talk about the praises of the Lord. I just love to say, you know, we use words sometimes to describe the Lord. And, you know, there's no vocabulary really for doing it. I mean, you know, we use superlatives. You say he's higher than the highest, he's greater than the greatest. Well, yeah, but that's because we really don't have any words, you know, but he is actually greater than the greater than the greatest. In other words, you really can't measure him. Praise the Lord. You know, so when we use those words, the greatest, the highest, is the this and the that, well, that's the, you know, that's just the, you know, the length and breadth of our vocabulary. There really is no, he's absolutely indescribable. And even his glory. I mean, how do you describe the glory of God? You know, there's a song in my native language. It's called the Yoruba language. You know, that language, you know, when you use it to bring out the glory of God, it's just there's some languages in Nigeria language, the Yoruba language, the Igbo language that can just bring out some things. I mean, the Yoruba language, this song says, look, he is the one that, you know, I mean, emanates beauty, redefines beauty, obatogbe ogo, kari ogo, latinu ogo, losi ogo, ah, marake, tarabo shela matori, obatogbe ogo, kari ogo, latinu ogo, losi ogo, obatiki isu, obatiki re, daludabi re, aladara, Talo Dabi Re
Jesu
Talo Dabi Re Alagbara Talo Dabi Re Jesu Talo Dabi Re Alagbara Oba Togbe Ogo Kari Ogo Lasinu Ogo Lasinu Ogo The Lord that takes glory and redefines it and gives glory a new meaning. Oh, the Lord that never sleeps, he never slumbers. Who can we compare unto you? You know, that's what the song says, for those of you who may not know that language. And anytime I see and hear that song or sing it myself, it just brings tears to my eyes. Ah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Do you love him? Eba mi, rababa, foba ugu, oba terere kari aye. You can't even translate that song. I mean, it's like, look, you're rolling, you're dancing. I mean, you are performing. There was an angel in the days of Manoah, you know, that, you know, he said, when then they saw the glory and the fire, he performed, he did marvelous things inside that fire. You know, I mean, you just roll, ha, makorolobo shandara. And you know, we have this, you know, African men, Nigerian men especially, we have this outfit. We call it the agbada. You know, some of you might know what it is. It's like a large, very large garment, you know, it's spread out like this, you know. My goodness. When you put that thing on and then you rababa, you know, you just, you know, roll. You praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. So that's what we're doing here this morning. We're not praying for God to do anything here this morning. Yeah, that's good. Prayer is good. And we pray, you know, that was a day last week. We took prayer throughout the day when we were praying for our brother that was in an ICU. He's still there. But today we're praising the Lord. You know, that's it. Praising the Lord. Ha! Glory to God. So I want to invite you to come out here today. I'm not taking any prayer requests. Not today. But today, I want you to come out here and give that shout out to the Lord. Make his praise glorious. That's it. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 149, the saints of God, they have the high praises of God in their mouth. And then, because of the high praises of God, there is the power to wield the sharp two-edged sword. It will be in their hand. But first, high praises of God in their mouths. So today, what's it going to be? What say you? You know, who do you say that Jesus is? And who is it? Some of you have said some marvelous things in this chat room. And thank God for you for giving a shout out to the Lord. But give your voice to it as well. Come out here and say a few words about the Lord. Testify. Give the Lord some shout out. You know, give a testimony of something that he has done. And just call out his praise. If you want to sing a psalm, if you want to sing a praise, if you want to shout the glory of God, well, you know, you have it. I am going to yield my mic now and let you come on and shout the praises of the Lord. And if you are in the listening lounge and you want to shout his praise along with us, feel free to do that. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome. It's your turn now to praise the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. I yield.